We've lived with a family of four spruce trees, a huge matriarch, and three skinny children huddled around her since we moved to our house in 1981. The mother tree was planted by two boys around 1920. I know this because I once got a phone call from a man who'd read a newspaper story about me. He lived in my house as a child, and he and his brother planted her themselves. He remembers her as his tree, not mine, which says something about our ideas of tree ownership. This big spruce invited me to come live in her old house on Peabody Street when I was expecting my first baby. Pairs of aspens, silver maples, and apple trees, and single balsam, ash, crabapple, birch, and red maple lived here too. The young spruces had a gangly adolescent box elder nearby for a playmate. This diverse and neighborly forest growing in the backyard told me that I had found my home. My spruce tree's congeniality and closeness have been appreciated by an endless stream of squirrels who leap effortlessly from one to another in high-speed chases. Before we adopted our cat, Sasha, she used to hide behind one spruce as redpolls gathered and then pounce. She lived strictly indoors with us, but when she died, we buried her near those spruces. Now when I scatter millet under them, feeding juncos and sparrows, I sometimes feel Sasha's presence. I may even have heard the trees reminiscing about her as they whisper among themselves. Over the years, the balsam, apple trees, and one aspen died, and the red maple and birch aren't doing too well. In the meantime, an elm tree has grown up. Trees don't die all at once the way mammals do. You couldn't name a precise moment of death for any tree. Even after an axe or a windstorm, a tree's soul remains, only slowly easing itself from the corpse. Thrushes and wrens spend their lives in the company of fallen trees, hopping on logs, feasting on bugs in the rotting wood, their soft brown feathers blending in with decayed leaves. It is the souls of dead trees that give these birds their ethereal, soulful songs. When Joey left for school one morning during a fierce windstorm, he suddenly ran back yelling that one of our spruces was falling down. We ran to the door to witness a looming catastrophe. The tree dangled perilously close to our power line. High winds had uprooted him, but he hadn't crashed down on the line thanks to his sister tree, who struggled against the wind to hold him up. He tilted at a 75-degree angle, his weight ripping and breaking her branches. Little by little, he sank closer to the electrical wire. In a sudden gust, he fell to 45 degrees, but her limbs caught him inches from the wire. She slowly eased him onto the cable, gently enough that it didn't break. The guys from the power company said it was a miracle the line didn't snap, cutting off our power or worse. But we knew it was no miracle. It was the hard work of one dear little spruce tree. I could hardly let someone come shred my dear dead tree into wood fiber, pulverizing his soul before he was ready to release it and dooming him to an afterlife as a newspaper advertisement supplement. We'd left 4 feet of his stump on the roots to hold a bird feeder, and the rest of him lies along the back fence. Squirrels, juncos, and sparrows take shelter from the wind among his branches, and crossbills fed on his cones until they disappeared in time. A downy woodpecker probes into his bark, and house wren babies cling to his brittle old branches. Little by little, he's giving up his individuality and his soul to the creatures who feed on him and in him. In this way, my backyard neighborhood, long graced by his living presence, is sanctified by his death. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.